Welcome, non-pro listening audience, to the most exciting time of year, the time that we at Nonproductive put on our March Madness competition and listen to various video game fanfare music in the background. Hey, here's one you might remember. I've changed the idea of the show. It's just going to be me DJing DS games. Is that good? Can we do that?
I mean, it's a lot easier than what I had planned.
Yes. By the way, I'm Frank. I'm joined in studio by Cappy, Pope, and possibly AJ once he relieves himself in the John. I don't care. There's not a bit of caring I have. Right? And we're talking about the March Madness for this year, which is a Disney Power March Madness. Isn't that exciting, people? Woo! Woo! Everyone get excited as loudly as you can.
Yay!
Woo.
All right, cool. So yeah, this year our theme is Disney Power, and we're defining that as everyone's most, not really just favorite, but your most powerful Disney character. I should probably stop playing Nintendo music since we're talking about Disney stuff. I think Disney is known for its music. Yeah, I think that might be good music. That might be true.
Fantasia.
Right, sure.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Although that wasn't technically Disney music, was it?
I mean, when Disney put on the music, they performed it, so yeah, it counts.
They hired all those musicians to play the stuff, yeah.
That's right. So we are going to be talking about the most powerful Disney characters of all time. And like a non-pro tradition, we're not going to define those terms for you. You get to define whether or not a character is powerful in your votes and in seeding rounds and in basically yelling loudly on the internet in comments. I'd like to believe that there's going to be a fair amount of people who are going to pick characters that meant something significant to them. There's going to be a fair amount of characters that get voted because they were, you know, somehow significant to the industry, and that some of the characters just have magical superpowers.
I agree with that.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
I think it comes down to the individual person and what they think is, like, what their definition of powerful is.
Right. And I think there's it's a good argument to make, because some of the characters that made it through our seeding process, and unfortunately, of course, not all of them did, I think we had somewhere near 80 characters to begin with before seeding began. And, of course, we had to end up with 64. I think it's kind of a mystery every year how we get the characters we end up getting for our competition. Nobody, you know, we don't do a lot of demanding people explain who or why they pick something at the early stages. We do later on in the competition. We want people to tell us why they pick someone.
Well, when we have so many people, we just don't have enough time.
Well, yeah, this competition was insanely popular. We had I think it was like 800 votes in the first hour or so. So, or 800 nominations in the first hour, and those are unique. So, they can't be unique. I think we only ended up having 80 in the original seed. I don't remember what I'm making stuff up. I've been drinking.
As usual.
So, in other words, we don't really know why people have picked these characters to be the most powerful, but as we get on in the competition, we're going to figure it out and share that. And of course, we are going to request you, our geeky listening audience, to volunteer to write defenses of these favorite characters, because it's fun and you get to be semi-published on a barely reputable website. All right. So the first thing I kind of want to talk about is our play-in round. This year we did something a little different. In the beginning of our competition, we had, I think, 10 contestants that were only allowed in if they beat through a play-in round. Those were like the lowest seeded characters. They were technically on our list, but they weren't really going to make it in. We couldn't decide from those 10 which were the ones the five that were the most important. So we just did a play-in round. And I'm going to quickly go over those with you today. It's interesting. We've had the competition up for a little under a week, and again we had a couple of hundred votes, and we have our results, so we know who's actually going to make it in.
Nice.
But I think it's worth going through. In our first competition, we had Olaf from Frozen versus Judge Claude Frollo from The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Now, I've heard good things about Frollo. He's a very powerful character.
He is, you know what? He's from a very unpopular movie, or a relatively unpopular movie. I don't think Hunchback is as big a hit as, let's say, Frozen.
Yeah.
But he doesn't melt.
True. If you're talking about raw, and that's the fun part of this competition, is some people will be like, well, one guy is you know, human, and the other guy's Snow, so he could just be kicked to death.
Yeah.
I don't
but
know
when you look at Olaf, like, his power is in his merchandising.
True.
Like, you look at Frollo, like, no one's buying truckloads of plushies of him.
I would love if there was, if the some Disney store somewhere in Indiana is like, why did we agree to hold
nothing,
all the Frollos?
Nothing but lunchboxes with Frollo on it.
Even
the
lunchboxes are almost acceptable. Imagine the stuffed Frollos, the plush. What are those, Zumzums? Those little, like,
Simpsons?
Yeah.
Simpsons, is that what they're called? Yeah, they're, imagine a quadruped Frollo. That's just disturbing. Anyways, he's like a really, he is a powerful character and, you know, dark and horrible and, like he has real passion. You don't see that in most Disney movies. I mean, lust is pretty much, lust and, like, a sense of him being better than you is his primary motivation.
He has an air of superiority.
And, like, he does. He thinks that Quasimodo is less than a person, the gypsies are less than people. This is a big deal character for a Disney movie.
I mean, it was a popular feeling at the time.
Against gypsies?
At the time, nobody likes gypsies.
Oh, I think you remember the time period of the film. Like, what?
Yeah, like, yeah, the period the mid-90s was set in.
Rough, or late 90s, whatever.
The period the film was set in.
Oh, okay, all right.
Not in the mid-90s.
I've always kind of felt that there's never been a terribly popular view of gypsies, though. Just like by general consensus, I'm not saying
And Frollo was powerful because he's one of the representations that Disney had that finally was able to address a lot of that sort of weird, like, racism was not really a thing that Disney often touched.
Right.
And here was a villain that had real world problems that were, you know, big and serious in the world at the time.
True. Olaf, on the other hand, does not deal with racism that much, but he was the breakout character of Frozen. If you're talking about, like, you know, merchandising and cuddliness and what have you. Probably not the most significant character in that movie. I mean, definitely not, but still, like, a breakout. Yeah.
As far as,
he had a good year. That's a very sports analogy answer. No, he had a good year.
There was a reindeer in that movie.
I think your mic is cutting in and out, which is fun because what you're saying is really stupid. No, I'm sorry. Say that again. He had a good year. He did better than the reindeer. Yeah.
He's also kind of invincible, if you think about it.
Yes.
Because he did get impaled.
He has a very cool power. We really can't focus this. We have,
Sorry, next.
We have a lot of games. We're going to see the result of this one, because this is just a play-in round.
Right.
And Olaf made it.
Yeah.
By one vote.
By one vote. That's what's surprising to me.
That's by one vote. Most people those who left comments said that they picked Frollo because they didn't want Olaf to win. Which is interesting. That's playing the game, I think. And I think it's reasonable. It's tall poppy. If you're a really popular character and people don't think it's justified, they want you to lose.
Yeah.
But so that's
At the same time, it just shows you that your votes do matter.
Yes, definitely.
You could have prevented this.
Yeah, it's your fault.
That's right, everybody. Get out to the polls.
Game two. Yeah, this is the only election that matters. Game two was Apu from Aladdin versus Roger Rabbit from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. This was interesting because there was a big debate in the studio whether or not Roger Rabbit was a Disney character. He is, in fact, a Disney character, Buena Vista Productions. And I think it's interesting. The way we describe it is, like, Apu is, like, the lovable sidekick from one of the most popular Disney Renaissance films. Roger was, like, he's trendsetting. You can't, like, how do you explain how amazing Roger Rabbit was? The film and, of course, the character. You got Warner Brothers characters mixed in with Disney characters, mixed in with studios that haven't even existed in years. It was
like
interesting.
Betty Boop was in that movie.
Yes. So we're not wasting too much time. I love Apu, but he did not make it. No. Roger Rabbit made it to the
Yeah, Roger's an icon.
Also invincible.
Yeah.
Except the ooze, Goop.
Goop.
Yeah,
Apu did cause the sand temple to collapse.
Oh, figures you'd bring that up.
I mean, he almost
like the
killed
idea
the
of
hero
Cappy
of the
being
story.
Like very much against Just Apu saying. Most of the time. All right, game three in our play-in round was Mabel and Dipper from Gravity Falls versus Tinkerbell from Peter Pan. I'm amazed that Tinkerbell only made write-in. She did not actually, or a play-in, she did not actually seed well, I think, at all in the original competition.
People don't like her.
I don't know where you're basing that on. I just think people didn't
think of her. She's such a catty.
Really? You think it's,
no, she's
got two?
No, she's not. She has an entire series of films.
She insists upon herself.
Here's,
So, those of you who don't know, and I didn't quite know, Mabel and Nipper, Gravity Falls, very popular Disney Channel show.
Just
apparently
ended.
Amazing. Like, it's X-Files mixed with Twin Peaks.
Yeah,
and
actually, that's
crazy.
A very good definition of what the show is.
I love the idea of the show. I think I've only seen bits and pieces of it, and it's one of the things I want to, like, binge watch now that it's done. And everybody in the comments who left comments about why they voted one way or another, a majority of them felt that... And this is going to be really cool. This is people gaming themselves. A lot of people said that they thought that Mabel and Dipper were shoo-ins because the series just ended and it's fresh in the zeitgeist. So they're going to throw it to Tinkerbell because Tinkerbell, you know, she's an icon and at least somebody will vote for her. I've actually even heard one comment somewhere in IO9. Someone said, you know what? I'm going to vote for Tinkerbell because at least she'll get one vote.
Ooh. Oh,
no. Tinkerbell won. You'd never play that game. Tinkerbell, by a margin of 2-1, beat Mabel and Dipper from Gravity Falls.
With that mentality, I'm not surprised.
I think everyone played themselves on this round.
Yep.
On this game. It's interesting.
So people pity inanimate characters. Got it.
Yeah, that's pretty much Non-Pro's tagline, man. All right, so game four. Pity us. We're inanimate characters. Marlin from Finding Nemo. That's Finding Nemo's dad. Versus the Cheshire Cat from Alice in Wonderland. All right, guys, what do you guys think of how this one went down?
I give the edge to Chesh, really.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because the Cheshire Cat's been around forever, also iconic in a similar vein to Tinkerbell, and it's just bat crazy, really.
He doesn't do anything.
No, he really doesn't. But besides that, like...
He does nothing.
But Marlin's getting...
I stare at you from everywhere.
Marlin's getting another movie soon. So it's entirely possible, like, with the stuff around Finding Dory and whatnot that's going to be coming soon, people might be, you know, oh, man, Nemo, how great was that movie?
You think he's back in the zeitgeist?
I think that's what it is.
Nemo is?
He went on an epic journey. This cat just sat there.
And made fun of
her. On the internet is all you really need.
It's a cat on the internet. So I don't know what you could say about that. You know what? I'll completely admit right now, I forget... Who voiced the Cheshire Cat in the animated series? I'm going to look it up right now, but I don't remember.
Film?
Yeah, the animated film. Sterling Holloway. All right, I did know that. Sterling Holloway, for those of you who don't know, he's a character actor from like the Evers, the 50s
the
and
before
60s.
Time.
Long, long ago.
But he was also voiced by Jim Cummings in like all... afterwards versions of the character,
like you do.
Jim Cummings pretty much voices everyone. Actually, Jim Cummings does voice a lot of Sterling Holloway's old Disney characters.
Yeah,
I guess he's got the voice down.
Kind of like Mel Blanc and Frank Oz, just absorb everything.
Oh yeah, okay. But anyways, so you and then you got Albert Brooks, of course, for Marlin. So honestly, I thought Cheshire Cat would have it. But I was wrong. Marlin barely beat out Cheshire Cat for this. And it was a close one, too. I don't think it was down to one vote, but it was very close. I can't really explain it other than the fact that Cheshire Cat is cool. And, you know, as far as magic is concerned, maybe he has power. But I think there's something powerful about a father looking for his son. And I think that's why Marlin placed. I'd like to believe that. And the final game five in our play-in, which is really should be the only game we ever discuss ever again. Animatronic Lincoln from the Hall of Presidents ride versus Max the sentient starship from Flight of the Navigator. All right, show of hands. You can do this at home if you're listening to the podcast. Who has seen Flight of the Navigator?
Does the first half count?
You know what? Yeah, fine. So I taped the movie on my VCR as a kid from the free Disney Channel weekend. If you remember, they used to do that.
Yeah.
Before like Disney Channel was basic cable. Mm. And you've seen the first half of it. Was it like because it was at the end of something you taped off the Disney Channel?
No, it was more like I was sort of half watching it and it was on TV and I was and I was a kid and I was like, oh, okay, there's this thing. And
so yay, Disney.
Here's my
remote is over there.
And I heard, what's his name from Pee-wee's Playhouse?
Paul Rubens. That was amazing that you identified the voice. You must have been a little older than that.
No, I think I got like that was his voice. That was he was very Pee-wee's Playhouse in that movie, if I'm remembering correctly.
So how I remember the film, and I remember pretty well. There's a kid, and I'm actually going to mix up part of this with The Last Starfighter. There's a kid who finds a spaceship. It's a pretty cool looking spaceship, like a like silver like teardrop. And inside there is a an AI, which is really just like this camera on like a pod, and it's one big eyeball, and it needs a navigator. And for some reason, this kid's brain is the navigator. And I think it could time travel. Somehow it, like, brings the family back together. I'm mixing it up with, like,
the
wizard.
No, you got this.
What's his name? Oh, God. God.
Fred Savage.
No. Yes. So there's a lot of movies all mixed up into this.
You're not wrong. It does time travel. Because, like, at first he kind of hits the future by accident. And, like, his parents are dead at that point.
As they do.
And then he had to, like, I think he goes, I don't know, does he go back in time and go read?
I can't remember this, but.
I mean, that's kind of what happens when you use a child's brain as your GPS. Just saying.
You go to the future?
You just bounce around
how well you know that.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to follow where you're
going. Never tried that?
I've never, no.
You've never powered your spaceship with the brain of an orphan?
I have not.
So anyway, animatronic Lincoln.
Hearts of an orphan is how you power it.
Okay. I thought the hearts were useless.
With or without the X.
So anyways, animatronic Lincoln would not approve of any of this. He was from the Hall of Presidents ride. Just show of hands, who's been to the Hall of Presidents?
That I have been.
I've been on that ride like 25 times.
Sure. That's what you do when you don't learn enough about your presidents. So I think this is a genius battle, and I would pay actual money to see it happen.
To watch the fight.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we do have the game is over, and we know the results. Who do you think won?
Please be Lincoln. Please be Lincoln.
I'm hoping Lincoln.
Does have
an
axe.
I really want Lincoln to win this.
Beyond any sense, Max the sentient starship from Flight of the Navigator won. Like, not hands that close. Like, it was by a wide margin.
By a wide margin? 60-40
split
I
here.
I can't. It was, yeah, about 60-40. About 70-30 even.
Wow.
It's
I mean,
insane.
He is a spaceship.
I mean, if Lincoln made it past here, he was probably going to take it all, though.
But the great robot emancipator lost. What? How do the rest of us? I really thought Lincoln was going to take the entire thing as a joke.
It's why the robot civil war never happened yet.
I really hope Max doesn't take the entire thing as a joke. I mean, if so, then Disney better, like, remake that movie with, what's his name from High School Musical? Anybody. Zach. Anybody from High School Musical, just to shut people up. That's what happens. This is what's going to happen if Max makes it.
A fourth of those movies, God help us all?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's going to come out soon or they're going to produce it.
Oh, no.
And it's going to be having more kids whose names you do not recognize.
Zac Efron? Is that his name?
Yeah.
There is a Zac Efron in the movie.
I'm sure he does exist.
That name is
a person.
He is the lead. Yes. Okay. Where is this? Oh, no. Do we not have? Oh, we do. Good. So, as I promised, we're going to, on this show live, for those of you, would you stop slamming your phones on the table? Oh, no one can hear that. That was a drum roll. No, it wasn't. All right. So, what we're going to do live, those of you who listen live are going to get the sneak preview.
Right.
Are going to hear what our first round of the March Madness is official now. This is like the opening bracket. This is all 32 games of the first round. I know, it's shocking. All right, so we're going to start off with game one is Maleficent versus Olaf from Frozen. Yeah.
She can turn into a dragon. And
I'm surprised. You know what? I'm going to take this back. Olaf did not win by a wide margin like everybody thinks he is. But I'm sure people will game themselves out of just thinking like Maleficent.
She can turn into a dragon.
Yeah. You know, of course, like in all March Madness competitions, your top seed and your bottom seeds tend to fight up against each other early on, but we could have an upset.
Are we talking about him after at the end of the movie, though? He's got that, you know, replenishing snow cloud
she
following him everywhere.
She can turn into a dragon.
But not only that, she's one of the most iconic.
He's also
of
a figment.
He's a concept.
I like the way that if you could, like, if you tune into one half of this podcast, Al's trying desperately to talk about issues, and the other one's like dragons. But yeah, no, this is like, she is the coolest villain I think they've ever had. She's the what is she? Power personified, mistress of all evil.
Mm. And they chose her to be one of the main villains when they did a video game for the Disney characters, and then they also decided that she needed her own movie. Now it's debatable whether or not that movie was any good, but they certainly casted her very well.
Yeah,
I'll and they gave her a great actress to play her.
Right. All right. So game two: Elsa from Frozen versus Merlin from The Sword and the Stone. I know. Yeah, I felt the same weird sucking of teeth sound that you guys had.
I mean, I kind of think Elsa might take this one.
But she's an ice wizard and he's an everything wizard.
Yeah, but I think she might take this one on the sheer nature of, like, it's just
recency bias?
Recency bias and all that, but I think that it's that idea of, like, having strong female characters once again.
Uh-huh.
And Merlin being a very interesting character, still just a side character in a story that's not really about him.
Agreed. But if we're talking about Sword of the Stone, he was fun, but it wasn't. Mm-hmm. He wasn't like vital. I could see this. Yeah. Certainly Anna and Elsa, and I'll tell you this, they did not seed at the same level.
No.
Yeah, Elsa and Anna had different people thinking of them as powerful, which was, I think, interesting. That's why they stayed as two separate entries in our game. Mm. Spoiler, Anna shows up later on. But I don't know how this is going to go. I love Merlin. He's my quintessential wizard. Even the Sword of the Stone Merlin. But I do think Elsa gets this one.
You think the first two rounds might mirror each other here, though? Because you have like the perpetuity character and the recent character. You know,
it's possible.
Like, I mean, because Merlin is Merlin outside of Disney. Mm-hmm. You know, so
I mean, yeah,
and Maleficent's been there forever.
Right. Yeah, it's hard to say what people are going to vote and how they're going to vote. I feel like powerful is the key word in this, and I think more people are willing to go out on the edge and say having Queen Elsa.
Elsa is definitely more impactful.
Yeah, definitely. All right, game three, Jafar from Aladdin versus Arthur from Sword in the Stone.
I want to give this one to Jafar because feel like it's just, he was a very charismatic villain in his own right.
And he would murder him.
He would succeed against, he's pretty bad about dealing with orphan boys.
We said Jafar from Aladdin, though.
Yeah.
Well, the Aladdin universe. Aladdin 2 Electric Boogaloo.
You know, it could be, it depends on where people do it, look at it from. And, Jafar has, a strong staying power, but at the same time, again, you have the historical character who also has, these magical enchantment surrounding him.
I feel like that's going to be less. Oh, or you're talking about Arthur.
I'm talking about Arthur this time, which also mimics, Merlin too, I guess, before it.
He does exist outside of the Disney universe in its own right.
But the thing is, those aren't the characters we're talking about.
Yeah, technically that's outside the realm of the contest, but we're talking about how people vote.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you can't control how people think.
Well, not yet. Not until game four.
We're getting there.
Where we have Jasmine from Aladdin versus. And it's weird how some of these kind of matched up. Jasmine from Aladdin versus Scar from The Lion King.
He'd eat her. Wait, I mean, but she did tame a tiger.
She did tame a tiger.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. She totally tamed the tiger. Yeah. You're right. She was totally. Wait. Oh my god.
So she has magical animal taming powers. That's so true. She might be able to run away
and a tiger,
as every Disney princess does.
That is so good.
An understated, princess of color in the Disney universe, certainly lends like a large power element to it. Not that I'm trying to specify this, but you have royalty, you have
right,
and
I agree,
so on and so forth.
I think Jasmine comes from she is a wealthy. She's a Disney princess that refuses to settle, and that's a theme we get a lot. So I don't know, I think she's gonna have more than, I think it's a decently fair fight.
Yeah,
but she does have a tiger.
She does definitely have a tiger. You've got that covered.
can she bring the tiger along to the fight?
I think so. Certainly say that. Game five is Flora, Fauna, and Meriwether from Sleeping Beauty. Those are the three fairies.
Yes.
Versus Mushu from Mulan. Huh.
Can we give it to the fairies? Because I feel like they're the only ones that did anything in that movie. And I feel like Mushu is just such a failure of a sidekick because he more often than not just kind of like, I mean, what does he do in that movie, really?
I have a couple arguments here for that. First of all, I think the three fairies actually do save, Aurora, right? That's clear.
Yeah.
Plus, they're, as we say on the website, an early model for the Golden Girls, clearly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Mushu was Eddie Murphy. And I know that sounds stupid, but it's the beginning of a chain of getting the best, weirdest, over-the-top guest stars to be voices. I think it's a new trend in wacky character sidekicks that kind of follows us in future movies.
Yeah, but I feel like he was the time they jumped the shark.
I don't know if people would agree with that.
I feel like Robin Williams started that.
I don't think he was a wacky animal. He was a main character.
Yeah, but Genie was still wacky.
Sure, he was wacky, but wacky is not my major point. My point is Mushu was just a sidekick. Equivalent to that raccoon thing from Pocahontas.
Mm.
So, who the hell voiced that raccoon thing? Probably Frank Welker. Probably. I don't know.
Entirely possible.
Yeah. All right, so next game. Game six. Beast from Beauty and the Beast versus Alice from Alice in Wonderland.
Ooh.
Yeah. Now, the Beast has fangs, claws, and is actually a Disney prince that means something into a story.
Yes.
They're not just window dressing.
Yeah.
Alice, on the other hand, if you talk to most people about what how they envision Alice in Wonderland, I think they pull out Disney's Alice. I think a lot of the elements come from that.
Yeah. Alice 1950s or Alice 2010s?
I think 1950s still. I don't think the the more recent movie has had a lasting impression, at least not for the next 10 years, I mean, you won't see.
Maybe not, but I feel like the character was much stronger.
Well, also much older, technically.
And so. Theoretically, people can talk about either Alice that they want to.
Yeah.
Alice. But again, there's a huge appeal to Beast, who was in a super strong movie. And again, if you want to play this as a...
And he killed a guy.
If you want to play... did he kill a guy?
He threw Gaston off the roof of the building.
He killed somebody.
No, gravity killed Gaston. Yeah.
He's like, go away. And he's like,
There's only hubris.
The only thing that kills people in Disney movies is falling and the hunter. All right, Game 7. Ursula from The Little Mermaid versus Darkwing Duck from Darkwing Duck. Oh, my God. I would see this movie. I want this to happen. I wish House of Mouse was back on the air just so we could see this happen. Darkwing Duck is cool. He's our champion from the Disney afternoon.
I mean, when you're in trouble.
And Ursula was actually, a really charismatic, fun villain. I think this could go either way. I think this is a fan battle. I think people are going to choose this based on who they like the most.
I mean,
because Darkwing Duck has the superhero motif. Thank you, and Ursula is magic. So I don't know if power really compares. I think it's just going to be fandom.
Yeah, I mean, it's also she's one of the villains that actually accomplished her goal in that film, and
dying. Yes,
and then dying. Yeah. She accomplished her goal and then died.
Stabbed by a boat.
Yeah, she was just like Cthulhu.
Like Cthulhu. Yeah,
in almost the exact same manner. But but there's something about the superhero parody, and it just works really well.
Yeah, I know. I'm having problems picking on this game, too. So good luck, viewers at home. Game 8 is Rafiki from The Lion King versus Bernard and Bianca from The Rescuers. I'm going to put my hands up on this one and say, I don't care. Like,
what?
I do not. I mean, Rafiki was yeah, all right, fine. He was interesting. I mean, maybe as a gateway to African culture, but no, I'm reaching. He wasn't. I mean, he was just there.
Yeah. Rafiki was obviously, like a tiny Chinese dude in a movie. That's what he really played. No. I mean, in terms of the motif,
in Big Trouble Little China, yeah, when the guy shows up
and he beats the crap out of all
the wizened elder.
The little Chinese guy,
the wizened little kung fu master, who beats everybody up with his staff.
Not necessarily. I kind of get what you're going for. I would have used different terminology, but I definitely see what you're saying.
I mean, we could go with Uncle.
Hold
from
on
Jackie
a minute.
Chan.
We do, and then there's Bernard and Bianca, who are a poor man's Chip and Dale.
No, they're not. I think they're great.
Me on this.
I think they're fantastic characters. I think they have fantastic chemistry in both of their films. I think that they're underrated Disney characters. Honestly, I feel they're totally relevant, totally powerful characters because they're a loving and unconventional couple that just work
how are they
really well.
They
are
pretty mice.
They are pretty. I mean, they're pretty conventional. I mean,
in what
not
way?
Really?
Is there some sort of fan board for Bernard and Bianca of the Rescuers?
I do love
visit?
Bernard and Bianca. Bernard was a janitor who stepped up. He really stepped up in that first movie.
Did he? I forgot.
And became
the first movie
a rescuer. He was basically the janitor at the UN.
Yep.
And they found out someone was in trouble, and he stepped up and volunteered to go help whoever it was to impress a girl.
All right. Good. Yeah, and I do love Bob Newhart, so maybe I do care.
I don't.
These are all just a bunch of great voice actors, and I don't know if anything else. We are joined, I think, by Matt, who was waiting patiently for us to pick up the phone.
I didn't see him there.
Well, Matt is currently in, as we've said before, in his volcano lair, planning world domination. I don't think we actually... Did we introduce ourselves? Maybe not. Oh, I did. I said Al was in the bathroom.
You said I was in the bathroom?
No, I said Cappy and Pope are here. Al's in the bathroom.
You said AJ was in the bathroom.
AJ and Al are
You introduced
irrelevant.
Me twice.
Oh, cool. And Al didn't get an introduction?
No,
I'm here.
Should we start the podcast over?
Yeah, we could do that.
We're 10 minutes, 15 minutes in.
We're on the Mario fanfare.
Has it been that long already?
Yeah, it's been a half hour, actually. We're talking about our March Madness, Matt. We're on game 9 now. Feel free to chime in whenever you'd like. In game 9, and we're just announcing these all now.
Okay.
Game 9 is going to be Mulan from Mulan versus Max, the sentient starship from Flight of the Navigator. Please, guys, we've never had loser kind of nerdy hacking votes before, where people just try to manipulate the results. Do not start now. Max is fun. He was funny that he beat Abraham Lincoln. We all enjoy seeing Abraham Lincoln take one for the team. But Mulan is a legitimately powerful character that is interesting, cool. She has physical strength. She has like significance in the story. She's a trendsetter.
Yep.
Please don't do this.
But it's Max the Sentient.
Shut up, Al.
She's got a purple heart.
What body count does Max the Sentient ship have? That's compared true. To Mulan. Mulan
has like 100 confirmed kills. Huns.
Yeah,
she's
that's
like the most badass, like arguably the most badass competitor in our whole entire tournament.
She's definitely a high tiered competitor. I would also say that if there are Huns listening, which is not as funny as you think, and they voted for Max, the sentient starship from Flight of the Navigator, I would have less problem with that. Because I feel like you're getting kind of a raw deal on everyone loving Mulan so much. I'm going to put that out there.
So you're just saying, like, no, we vote for Max, the sentient starship.
It feels a little uncomfortable, but I will be okay with that. So yeah, game 9 is crazy. So we're going to go game 10 and take a quick break. In that we're going to yell and breathe sigh. This is the best one. Mufasa from The Lion King versus Chippendale from Rescue Rangers and Cartoon Shorts.
This is a tough one.
No, it isn't. Mufasa swallows Chippendale in one gulp.
No, but the Rescue Rangers are...
haven't died yet.
No, and they've taken on things larger and more intimidating before. Like Fat Cat and then that machine that, like, you know, like... could like eat this supposed to destroy and hunt down, you know, vermin. These guys are like, they're the MacGyvers of the Disney universe. They could find a way. They could get helicopters and bombs. All right.
They wouldn't gotten trampled by a herd of gazelle.
Okay. Oh wow. Shots fired from Cappy. Yeah, all right. So
they would have seen Scar's plan coming a mile away.
I'm beginning to see your side of the argument. But as far as significance is concerned,
I don't know, they're one of the original Disney characters. We're talking about significance.
They actually aren't. So originally I was trying to figure out how to name this group, and you'll see this occasionally with certain characters like Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
I almost want to say, you know, Donald Duck, Mickey Mouse, some silly symphonies, they're early Walt Disney cartoons. But Chip and Dale, at least, were not silly sympathy characters. They came out, I think, in the 60s. I think it was like 64.
First episode was in 1989, actually.
Chip and Dale's Rescue
Rangers. That's their TV show, not the characters themselves.
You child.
Maybe flagship characters?
We just called them cartoon shorts, which is fine. But the point is, like, they're not necessarily... I mean, 64 is old.
Yeah, but it's not the 40s old.
But it's not... I don't know. I can see this going either way. Although I would like also to see this happening in real life. I would like to see this battle. If someone would like to animate this, I would, I'd pay a dollar for it.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
That's what I meant to say. Instead of just sounding like I was belittling animators. All right. Game 11. We said we're going to take a break, but we can't because this is too interesting. So this is controversial. All right. Game 11.
Ooh.
It's Baymax and Hero from Big Hero 6. Versus Meg from Hercules. I'll say why this is controversial. So far, I think only had two other instances where characters are united. It's Chip and Dale and Bernarda and Bianca, I think. Whatever.
They're two rodents. They need the help.
Fine. That's horrible, but yes.
Wow.
Why did we all react as if he said something racist? I don't know. All right, but Baymax and Hero were two separate characters and actually nominated separately, but we decided that they needed to be together on this list. And I'm not sure if that was a good call on our part.
But I think Baymax doesn't really function independently without Hero, though.
Yeah, that was the argument that we made, and I think it was legitimate. And normally in the nominations, we would see them being nominated together, so it was obvious that people meant for them to be together. And Chippendales and Bianca and Bernard were actually also nominated on one single lines when they were nominated. But I don't know about this. Meg, on the other hand, from Hercules, is a pretty damn controversial character in her own right, in that I don't know. She's certainly not the star of Hercules.
No.
But she's not a damsel in distress.
Right, even though she plays the part.
She plays the part, but you know she's playing the part.
Right, and then at the end she does kind of... It's sort of like Mulan, in where like it ends with an implied romantic relationship with that general where you're like, where does that really, like, I get why the grandmother is interested, but why are the rest of us buying into this? And in this, in Meg as well, it's like she's playing the part of a damsel in distress until she becomes a damsel in distress.
I don't know. She doesn't actually ever become a damsel in distress. The only time she ever, the only time you see her actually become a damsel in distress is when she's playing one with the centaur, and then afterwards, towards the end, the only time she becomes in distress is when she's going to try and save Hercules. Like,
or when she dies and you have to,
yeah, but that's when she's helping him.
Saving. I'm saying, you know,
yeah,
yeah.
I think you could be in distress and not be a lame. Well, first of all, there's going to be situations where characters will be in distress and it's going to be appropriate.
Yeah,
and saving the hero might be a good one. I don't know. It's kind of iffy to me.
I also feel like this is a weird sort of in distress moment because she's literally dead.
Yeah,
like this is past being in distress.
Yeah, but I mean,
he's bringing
not
her back, but she's already resigned to being dead.
No, I think
and we already understand that she's dead.
I think that counts. I think, like, in this fiction, there's death, and then there's like, no, this is real death. Come on, this is end. But on the other hand, Baymax and Hero, I don't really know much about. I have not seen Big Hero 6, and I know that's a mistake. So, does anybody know anything about this movie that they would like to share? Why are these characters
besides
so
the
awesome?
Fact, like, it's basically Baymax is sort of created to help and keep Hero safe. Mm-hmm. Make sure nothing bad happens to him. And like the thing about it is this, there's this weird sort of adorable relationship that builds up out of the two of them where he convinces the robot, like, in order to keep me safe, like, we have to become heroes so that the world is safe and so on and so forth. And it's like, I don't really understand this, but if you say this is what we have to do, okay, we'll do it.
So their friendship is their power, you would say?
In a weird way, yeah. It's this very sort of like, it's, I mean, it's
trust.
It's sort, yeah, it's not that like, I mean, I could say it's akin to having a pet, but not really.
Well,
it's
is it trust, like Matt just said?
No.
I don't think it's trust, but there's a very interesting relationship. It's the interesting aspect that we often play with in science fiction of man and technology, and it's a very weird and interesting and different way that we've tackled that situation than we have before.
And, you know, he's emotionally, like, not there. Like, Baymax
is a robot.
Is a program. Like, not even, like, I wouldn't, like, yeah, he's a robot, but, like, you know, not. Like,
he's not
human.
Data the android.
He's AI.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, he's very much just like a program designed to diagnose problems and help solve them.
Yeah.
Mm. That's like his actual original purpose
so
as he was built.
In this film, is like Hero kind of just working out his own issues then with an AI?
Yes, because...
that's
kind of
awesome. He's just talking to a chat bot.
Kind of
he's like, oh, I figured out
an
my
event
issues.
Early on that, you know, causes him a great amount of emotional turmoil that Baymax kind of helps him to get past.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking
therapy
of getting past, Game 12, Ariel from The Little Mermaid versus Shere Khan from The Jungle Book and Tailspin.
Like, I feel like the venue is important here.
I wanted to call this contest Surf and Turf.
In the middle of the desert.
So,
because if it's in the water, she's got him. I mean, you know, if he's a cat, you know, what are you going to do?
Well,
cats hate water.
Tigers can swim. Tigers can swim.
Tigers are good at swimming.
It depends on what kind of body of water.
Shows what I know.
Here's the thing.
Should have watched more Life of Pi.
So, what's the strength of Ariel? I think now I want to see Ariel.
She's got
a Shere Khan redo.
I guess a 9, maybe.
Yeah, I put her in a 9, a plus 1 modifier for sure.
What's happening
voice,
here? Are you giving me D&D stats? Are you?
Is that what you're asking for?
That's not
plus
what I was.
Plus 12 charisma.
Definitely weapon of.
Shut the hell up, everyone. That's awful. But I'm saying Ariel's strength, I believe, is, and I think a lot of this that comes down, and Disney in general comes down to when you grew up and what you watched. So I think Ariel is yet another princess that's looking for something more, but I think she was the first in her line.
No, she was. This was the beginning of the Disney Renaissance.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like when it came back and it was big and it was bad and this was the movie that did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Shere Khan is really just terrifying if you watch The Jungle Book. And in Tailspin, he's a lot of fun. Like, he was a character that you just wanted to, I don't know, vote for in a Republican national convention. I could see that. Shere Khan for president. Come on.
I recall him being a pretty competent villain in Tailspin. Like, he actually, like, got over the good guys a lot of times.
And
at
it
least
was
until
nuanced.
The good guys came back, but, like, he did have success.
And it was kind of nuanced where he didn't just, it wasn't just villainy all the time. Sometimes he was just, like, the best possible option, which was cool. It was very fun to see that in a cartoon show. Mm. All right. Speaking of fun, Game 13... is The Incredibles from The Incredibles versus Tinkerbell from Peter Pan. So Tinkerbell made it in through our playing round, as we said, and they're up against The Incredibles. The Incredibles, it's the entire family, which is, I think, again, controversial. It's
kind of broken.
Yeah, it really does seem that way. But when you think about it, beyond, if you're not battling power versus power, if you're not saying strength versus strength or flexibility versus, you know, speed or whatever the hell it happens to be in one, or magic, if you're just talking about like the most powerful aspect of The Incredibles, I really think a big part of it is how well that family was realized. They were like the, not only were they the Fantastic Four, like the best possible version of the Fantastic Four, but they were actually even better than the Fantastic Four, because you could see like the father who had the weight of the world on his shoulder and thinks he has to carry all the weight himself. The mother who's kind of stretched in all these different directions, the hyperactive kid, the teenage girl who just wants to disappear. Like, it fits so well and they seem so realistic. I think that's the strength of The Incredibles for me. What do you guys think? Matt, were you trying to say something while I was talking?
But I was just going to say, I completely agree, like, just how all of their superpowers coincided with the struggles that they dealt with, and, like, how ironic it seemed that, like, they had this amazing ability to, quote-unquote, deal with their struggles, yet they still had them, and they still had to work them out beyond, you know, just using their own, superpowers. I thought that was really cool, and, yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
I feel like this is a contestant that... or a group of contestants that will go very far just because The Incredibles is such a good movie.
I have to agree with that. I really think I think it may be my favorite Pixar film.
Yeah,
it's definitely up there. But I feel like there's something about Tinkerbell. Like, again, I feel like, in a weird way, I almost would wish Mabel and Dipper had won, because I would have loved to have seen these guys fight.
Mabel and Dipper versus The Incredibles would have been interesting.
That would have been interesting, yeah. Not to say that, not to count out Tinkerbell, though, because, again, she's an icon. She, like, closes out a lot of Disney movies and, you know, even Disney TV shows.
Yeah, she blesses every Disney production with her magical powers.
Yeah.
It's hard not to think of her as being, important. There's also, like, the Disney fairies thing is making a resurgence. It's kind of
made-for-DVD films concerning that character, and some of them are actually pretty good.
I think this might be a generational thing. I think a group of people watched Incredibles at the right time for themselves, and they'll love it.
Yeah.
And then another group will have seen Tinkerbell and remember it fondly from Peter Pan.
It's gonna be that weird thing. It's like, if you're too young for The Incredibles, you have the movies for Tinkerbell and a lot of the stuff that she's still in. And if you're too old for The Incredibles, then there's still Tinkerbell. So it's that weird sort of...
That's the icon,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. All right, so game 14. Merida from Brave versus Nala from The Lion King. So I really like this one because it's like Battle of the Royalty, right?
Yeah.
So Merida, I think her strength really is that she... So we've talked about Disney princesses, and you've noticed so far there are actually very few. I think so far we've maybe had one that made it on the list, right?
No, Ariel? We made like two or three.
I think it was just Ariel. Who else?
No, it was Ariel, Mulan, and...
Is Mulan a Disney princess?
Yeah,
Mulan's technically a Disney princess.
Yeah, she's an official Disney princess, although she was never actually a princess.
Okay. So
and also you had...
And Elsa started as a princess and became a queen.
Elsa. You're right.
And then there's also Jasmine.
She leveled up.
And Jasmine, you're right. There was a couple of them. Okay, so yeah, there are actually... I guess what I was shocked by, but some of the bigger names did not make it on the list. You'll find out through process of elimination at the end. So Merida, I think, is like the ultimate progression of Disney princess. So you've got the I want something more, I want to control my destiny, that's become more and more important with Disney princesses as they've gone along. And I think Merida, even more so than the Brave characters that came afterwards, owned it. She said, I do not want to get married, and this is not for me. I want to own my own life. And I think that's really powerful. Nala, on the other hand, and this is going to get weird, she was a better leader of her people in many respects than like the people than Simba and the other kings of the prides in I think Disney sequels, and I think that's what's going to be
her
drop down.
And I think that's why she got nominated, like, because it was like a lot of people did watch those growing up, because when you were a kid you watched The Lion King and it was like, I want more of that.
Yeah, you have no idea that these are the worst sequels or whatever.
Yeah.
And
you're just like, all right, why is she doing a better job than Simba? Simba had that weird training period with Mufasa, but then you have to realize, you know, Simba went off for a few years and just kind of ate
he
bugs
bummed around
rock.
Europe or whatever it was that, yeah, yeah.
He went around with Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. He didn't really do much, so.
Right.
But she was about to do the same thing until she ran into him.
No, she wasn't.
No, she was hunting.
She was hunting. She was trying to, like...
Oh, she's trying to bring food back.
That's her official story.
I thought she was bugging out and said, I'm done with this.
She was looking for a warthog. I don't know why that sounded suggestive. It's just,
yeah.
All right. Game 15 is Anna from Frozen versus Oberon from Gargoyles.
What?
Nerds! All right. Everyone knows who Anna from Frozen is. If you don't, Princess Anna, Elsa's sister, is like the other part of that amazing movie that is Beyond the Music and the Snowman. Yeah. You know, significant because it was like a major Hollywood blockbuster that was about the love of two sisters,
yeah.
Which is rare. And then Oberon, for probably a lot more of the audience who doesn't know, it, as far as Gargoyles is concerned, is like the king of the fairies. And Disney's Gargoyles, which aired on the Disney Afternoon, was like a seminal show. It for an entire generation, like it's our cult favorite amazing TV series. It's the adventure of Goliath and his gargoyle friends and David Xanatos and his insane plans.
Yeah.
And Oberon was one of the major players in that story. So this is actually a kind of interesting competition. I don't think Oberon's got it. I think Oberon is a cool character.
Yeah.
I don't think, even for Gargoyle fans, he's as memorable as...
No, it's a shame to say it, but he's not as memorable as any of the Gargoyle cast.
Xanatos.
He's not as memorable as Xanatos. No. He's not as memorable as like Puck or like anyone. Like Brent Spiner, for God's sakes.
Brent Spiner, the actor, is more memorable in his various roles as Gargoyle's characters.
Yeah.
By the way, Gargoyle, Star Trek The Next Generation animated series.
I know, right? It really is.
The
like,
entire cast.
Like, except Patrick Stewart. That was about it.
You know what? He was probably Lisa. He's a powerful
but
mimic.
It's just like that was it was such a good show, and it's a shame. I wish there was more characters from that show on here, and I think we're gonna lose him because he's not as big a character in
as
the show.
Yeah, it's gonna be hard to make it past. We're gonna lose half these characters, so it's gonna be difficult. It's gonna be a culling.
Although I will argue, Anna was more the annoying sidekick character than Olaf was, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Right. Shots fired. You have to fight about that next round, probably. Game 16. Jack Skellington from Nightmare Before Christmas versus Sadness from Inside Out. Game 16 promises to be a living nightmare for every emo kid following our Sadness.
I really hope Jack wins this one because I'm just not a fan of Sadness, the character. I feel like way to create a character with no agency and all of the plot contrivance in the world.
Really?
I hate that character.
That's the
character.
First person I've ever heard who said that.
Wait,
anybody else have an opinion
character.
On Sadness or Jack Skellington?
I'm just taken aback by what he just said.
That's true.
What? That's a character that becomes a creation of catharsis of the whole movie.
Yeah, and with no reason to do any of it.
Matt.
I mean, but she was consistent throughout the whole thing.
Who
cares? It
wasn't
like she needed a reason. She was herself
who
throughout
cares?
The whole thing.
Yeah, if she had no reason to do anything.
You don't have to care.
I have to care.
Hold on.
You don't have to like the movie.
I do think that all the aspects of the personality were kind of just like motivated by who they were and not by reason.
I don't know. I think all the other characters had plenty of agency.
Anger?
Definitely.
Really?
Definitely.
Definitely.
Why? Definitely. I feel like anger definitely had agency in his character. I definitely had reasons for what he did. Trying to manage things as after Joy left. There was a lot of like, oh man, we got to get this together.
Yeah,
I have to come
what?
Up with an idea. He had a character.
You know what? I can't say that Al's wrong. I'm thinking about why Sadness did things, and it seemed perplexed.
Just
but I think that's also accurate with Sadness, though. So, like, if you've had a friend who's just
mopey,
you can't save them from how sad they are.
I've had this argument so many times where people have said that. I'm like, great, then somehow make the character that you created somehow personify that.
They
and,
did.
And no, you didn't. You didn't give it any kind of actual character. You just had it do things.
Al, you need to write a... like, in offense to Sadness, you definitely have to write about this character and why he shouldn't be on the list then.
Because
you have an interesting perspective that isn't wrong, although I don't know if I agree with it.
Yeah.
So, and then there's Jack Skellington, who, of course, is, like, this super iconic character. We say that word a lot, but, like, in a completely different way because it brings an aesthetic to Disney that Disney did not have forever. And actually... you know, it's trying to recapture that here and there, but there's definitely something about the Nightmare Before Christmas that makes it super memorable.
Yeah, it's one of Tim Burton's like defining moments in his career.
Sure.
And it's just like that, like there's an entire style that exists mainly because of that movie.
Right. And it's not just the Tim Burton universe and all the things that come out of that, it created a kind of like neo-gothic thing that exists in the world that people make independent new art based on, and that is super powerful.
That is super powerful.
I'll throw the question out there. Do you think anything since then has reached that level as Nightmare Before Christmas? Because I'm just racking my brain and I can't think of much.
I don't know. It depends on what you mean.
Like a lot of followers, I don't know if anybody has reached to that level though.
I can't think of something that created a whole new, like,
it almost feels like its own genre.
Almost like a new genre that came out, or at least a new subgenre that came up. I can't think of that.
It half created Hot Topic almost.
That's true.
It's true.
I feel like Invader Zim, when I watch Invader Zim, I feel very...
There's a lot too.
There's a lot there.
Right. A lot of...
So it's not just Hot Topic, but like every intellectual property on the shelves at Hot Topic feels like it's been influenced by Nightmare, not just Tim Burton, but Nightmare Before Christmas.
It's an interesting one to be, and an interesting question too. If there's been another, all right, we have to continue on with our March Madness. We're running out of time.
Yep.
Game 17, Hades from Hercules versus Marlin from Finding Nemo.
Ooh,
Hades just such a good.
Anybody up for a good fish fry?
Yeah, really. Right.
What I like about this is it's Albert Brooks versus James Brooks.
Nice. No, James Woods.
James Woods. Oh, it was almost awesome. It wasn't though.
I mean, it's kind of elemental though. You got water and
Brooks
wood
and wood.
Yeah.
But that sounds like a band.
Yeah,
Brooks and Wood.
They're the new bosom buddies.
It's a Greek god versus a fish.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
You
so
do have that.
I think like a couple other contests we have. Oh God, I was really, for some reason I thought James L. Brooks was the voice of Hades. But I feel like a couple other competitions we had, it's going to be based on like this is a fan off. This is because there's enough
the love of a father versus a god.
Yeah, okay. I think this is going to come out to who likes which character most and who votes the most. Mm-hmm. Which, and not all of these are expressly like just popularity contests. In fact, most of them aren't. There's some reason behind it. Game 18, Vanellope Von Sweets from Wreck-It Ralph versus Baloo from The Jungle Book.
We got another princess.
I really don't know about this one.
Technically.
All right.
They're both lovable losers, only Vanellope becomes a queen, and Baloo's like, I'm good. I'll start this airplane company.
She gets her redemption story, but... It's questionable whether or not she even needed redemption. Though.
That's the thing. Like, I don't think she had a redemption story. I think she kind of had a turnaround where it was like, I don't need responsibility. Oh, no, wait, I do. And she kind of always wondered, well, Baloo's kind of more or less doesn't portray his message.
He doesn't need responsibility. Oh, no, I don't.
Yeah, it's very much like Baloo sticks to his guns. And I feel like that means something.
He sticks to just the bare necessities.
Yeah.
Yeah, I find this one very hard. Because I like the character in Wreck-It Ralph. I don't know if I really thought she was that powerful. I feel like Game 18 is going to be who falls to Hades.
And he's going to be voiced by Bill Murray in the upcoming live-action film.
Oh, crap. He wins. He wins the March Madness. Done. All right. Game 19. Donald Duck from DuckTales, cartoon shorts, etc. versus Captain Hook from Peter Pan.
Huh. Ooh. I'm going to give it to Donald.
Yeah, violent, angry, destructive, and are one of our favorite cartoon ducks of all time. You get what I mean? I'm just kind of making you think that.
I see where you're going with that.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
And an iconic voice. Like, that's
absolutely unmistakable.
I think Captain Hook is a lot of fun. A lot of fun, but I don't know.
Too localized.
But all he does is terrorize children.
Well, that's cool. I would say, you know what? that was weird. I'd almost say that Dustin Hoffman's version of the character in Hook
was almost
more powerful because they did such a good job. It was such a like love letter to the cartoon in many ways.
Did anybody see Pan at all?
I did not see Pan.
Me neither. So I couldn't even comment upon that character. I'm wondering if anybody knew anything about the new iteration.
I think literally no one has seen that.
Yeah.
No. Then Donald Duck is just like he definitely is too iconic for, and especially in light of DuckTales, which is an amazing series. I know he wasn't in the animated series, but in the Duck universe, which is a big thing for Disney, that there are, like, the entire the Duck family, the Donald Duck family, his Uncle nephews Donald and his uncles and all those other characters
he's,
are really
he's
important.
The dynasty.
Yeah, he is a dynasty.
And
no,
and
he
then
is
there's
the Duck dynasty, if you will.
But at the same time, he's just touched so much. So many video games, shows, movies.
Wow, yeah.
He's everywhere. And just Hook...
Yeah.
He's not even in all the Peter Pan stories.
And he's even got, you know, flaws, which I feel like in certain aspects will make him more lovable than Mickey.
Yeah, yeah, actually in a weird way, because Donald definitely has flaws. That
like that violent, violent temper.
I mean,
yeah.
They obviously don't, they both have flaws.
Oh, absolutely. I just feel like, you know, it's more open with, you know, Donald where, like, you know, he's not like that perfect character.
But Hook is overcoming adversity. He is an amputee.
True.
With PTSD. With PTSD. Don't forget about that.
Game 20, Winnie the Pooh from the 100 Acre Wood versus Jiminy Cricket from Pinocchio.
I almost thought you said Winnie the Pooh from the Hunger Games. I was like, what?
So Winnie the Pooh
wins.
I could
watch that.
I would watch the hell out of that. I don't know.
I just don't see this happening. Like that wouldn't happen. You put the two of them together and
hug.
They would just go their separate ways. Yeah,
yeah, definitely. Winnie the Pooh, one of the early non-public domain properties Disney made into a film.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting. Felt seminal for that reason. Mm-hmm. Jiminy Cricket was like, you know, the conscious of a movie. It's probably the first Disney film that dealt deeply with morality in that way, I guess. I think it's interesting. I think this is kind of like a favorites round as well, where people are going to pick the one that they
it's
care
where
the
Jiminy
most
Cricket
about.
Again has some of the same appeal that Tinkerbell has, where he's very
iconic.
Consistently. Yeah, and he also blesses a lot of Disney products. So it's that weird thing.
Well, they've stopped using Jiminy for longer than they've stopped using Tinker. I think that'll actually have an effect.
Yeah.
I think Pooh is actually still active.
Oh, yeah,
he had a
movie not too recently.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And he's a very deep character.
Mm.
I mean,
he's full of
the Tao of Pooh.
Yeah, there's that book, The Tao of Pooh.
Game 21, Belle from Beauty and the Beast versus Pocahontas from Pocahontas. Oh, princess fight.
Yeah, it's also tough in a game
of
wits.
Are off.
I mean, technically, Pocahontas would be statistically the better fighter here. But
she does have guerrilla warfare under her belt. Mm.
I suppose so. Belle is the thinking man's princess.
Yeah.
She's like
she loves them books.
The educated.
Yeah, I feel
literally
like
book smart.
She's a bibliophile.
I do like the fact that Belle has an interest that defines her that isn't like she's pretty. Prettiness is a major aspect of the character. I mean, it's why Gaston is after her. But Gaston is a villain. So like that's the first time I remember that a Disney character. Attractiveness is kind of a negative asset in terms of like negative attention.
Yeah,
it garnered. I mean, that's not necessarily Snow White. Also, like her stepmother
her
hates her for being attractive.
Yeah.
But the prince loves her for being attractive.
Sleeping
and,
Beauty,
nothing else.
Yeah,
you know.
And with the Beast in that film, it's not really about that. He doesn't really care that she looks pretty.
Yeah, he doesn't make mention of it. I mean, it's just something. It's the fact that she has compassion for him. I think that works for the Beast.
Oh, it's kind of what he's going for,
right?
His
literally
redemption
what he needs. And I feel like that's significant. Pocahontas is also significant. It's like you know, it's a brave attempt to present Native people in a way that isn't either like, I hate to say it, cartoonifying them or definitely you know vilifying them. As in earlier, like, Westerns and what have you.
Yeah.
I think it was a noble attempt. I don't know if it has the strength to beat Beauty and the Beast. I don't think Pocahontas the movie would carry over.
No, I think that movie, unfortunately, has so much baggage because it's when Disney started to tank.
Right.
Was around that film.
And I don't think the tanking was independent of how good the movie was.
No.
Yeah. I think the movie did have its issues and, you know, the...
And you got to wonder how those relationships ended up afterwards. I mean, we all know Pocahontas got sick because of the white men and died.
Is that literally
what
happened?
She got kidnapped, went to Europe, got forced into marriage with a white man, and that's when she died before she...
But I'm pretty sure
like
within like 4 years she was dead from illness caused by the white man.
Although she was also like 11 or something like that when John
when
Smith showed up.
All right, we're not talking. We've gone off track.
Sorry,
I definitely think we should probably not try to figure out history based on your memories of it because that was mostly wrong. Pretty much everything you just said was mostly wrong, but not completely wrong. And I will say this that I at least do factually know is that John Smith and Pocahontas weren't a couple in real life.
No, she was basically just like a small girl that said, hey, don't kill that guy.
Right, and then turning it into a romantic relationship in the movie felt like it was a misstep. Pedophilia. That they were probably paid for.
That too.
Game 22, Woody from Toy Story versus Tiana from Princess and the Frog.
Oh.
Yeah. So I feel like this one is a battle for the generations again.
Mm-hmm.
If you're an older person, you've seen Woody, you love Toy Story, you're married to that arc. I've never seen Toy Story, so you guys tend to look at me like I'm like my head's on fire when I reveal that. But like to me, it's not that significant. I would say younger generations will grow up knowing a princess of color, mostly from Tiana and Princess and the Frog.
I'm inclined to agree, but at the same time,
you need to see Toy Story.
No, not just that. Toy Story was really the beginning. It was essentially like the coming again of Disney when Pixar.
The literal first.
Yeah, like this was Pixar's, like one of their big film that came out. It continued onward. It's a trilogy that kept going with the generations, grew up with its characters.
And he was my friend.
And he voiced by Tom Hanks, who may be history's greatest monster, but is still a fantastic actor.
It's a callback to an earlier podcast. Thank you. I definitely see that this is going to be a pretty close competition, but I think Toy Story is going to take it away. Woody's going to take it away just because how many of those kids growing up with Princess of the Frog are voting in our competition? Hopefully not many, because we swear a lot. Game 23, Wally from Wally versus Snow White from Snow White.
I think this is going to be a lot closer than people might think.
Yeah, this seems like a close one.
I loved Wally. I thought it was a fun, good movie. I think it was well made.
She's unconscious for the original most of the movie.
But she
still says more than Wally does.
That's true. Snow White. That sounds like E.T. doing Wally.
In a weird way,
I rolled too much at the end there, sorry.
Snow White also, like, she helped create the Walt Disney Empire. That movie.
Literal original.
Right. I think that's significant in terms of power.
They made 7 tiny Oscars to go with the Oscar they made for that movie.
Wow. All right, so speaking of Empire Builders, Game 24 is Mickey Mouse versus Dr. Facilier from The Princess and the Frog.
I feel like this villain's going to get such a short end of the stick because he's fighting the mouse.
Unless everybody games themselves in this one also.
That might happen. But he's such a good character.
I really love this character. Keith David does an amazing job with this character. He really stole the show of this movie. I think like that his musical number, Friends on the Other Side, it's one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
But you're up against the mouse. And more significantly, you're up against the mouse. And in reality, if you're talking about power, like even if you're talking about Mickey Mouse, the Sorcerer's Apprentice, he probably beats you. You got beat by your own shadow. I don't know. I think this one is pretty obvious until people game themselves. Game 25, Mary Poppins from Mary Poppins versus Roger Rabbit, one of our play-ins from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Roger. Yeah.
That's another one. Oh,
that's another hard one, isn't it?
That is, yeah.
Coin flip. Yeah.
She does kind of have magical powers.
She could be a god and we just don't know, and she doesn't manifest her powers that way.
Mm,
but Roger Rabbit might be even more. He's a cartoon.
That's right.
He's damn near immortal.
Yeah, but unless she has some creates goop in that bag. A cartoon world. Like
true, she does,
and she could be god and master. Of those things.
My god, Mary Poppins might be where Toontown came from, right?
Yeah, right.
Like they go into the cartoon. Her power to make the chalk painting come to life. She's immortal. A few decades later, a cell animation starts up, and she turns that to life, and it goes. Oh my god, origin story.
Follow the money.
Follow the money. I think Mary Poppins.
Roger Rabbit is god, but Mary Poppins is his god.
No, Roger Rabbit is just a rabbit.
Yeah,
but Mary Poppins, I think
with a weakness to turpentine.
How about this one? Mary Poppins is an idol for us when we were little kids. Like she is about nurturing and respect, right? Mm-hmm. But Roger Rabbit is the adolescent rule breaker, right?
Yeah.
So it taught you how to break rules when you got a little older. That's my deep thought.
But he just wanted to make people laugh.
Yeah, but it was that movie was. Semi-scandals. Even the fact that Jessica Rabbit was sexy was crazy. Yeah. All right, game 26.
I'm just drawn that way.
Scrooge McDuck from DuckTales versus Chernabog from Fantasia.
What?
Money is the root of all evil except for giant mountains spewing ghost demons. You know who Chernabog is, right? The big,
yeah, he's the big thing on Fantasia, like a allegory for the devil and whatnot. Yeah,
the Night on Bald Mountain, great bit, scared the hell out of me as a kid. Super powerful. Scrooge McDuck, super influential. DuckTales universe is really popular,
and he's loaded.
Yeah. He's loaded.
Could I make a suggestion?
Yes.
For anybody listening to this, like on the fence about whether to vote, please look up The Life and Times of Scrooge McDuck. It's an old comic book series that came out, I think, like maybe like the 60s or 70s that followed like the life, literally the life and times of a young Scrooge McDuck before he made his fortune.
When he found his lucky dime.
Just some of like the crazy adventures he goes on. I mean, you'll by the end, you'll believe he could take on a god.
Wow.
Or like a monster like Chernabog. Like just honestly, just look it up. It's a fantastic series.
Just pay somebody to take care of it.
I haven't looked it up, but I'm pretty sure by definition, like, actual mystical physical power, Chernabog might be the strongest character in
possibly
Disney.
Yeah. Possibly, because I mean,
top five,
a rival for Hades so far, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's hard to really define which has Yen more powerful Sid. There.
But when we rank our Greek gods, we also match them against Titans. And you think when you think of a Greek god, you're not thinking of the strongest. You know, they're not even the strongest on their own plane. If they were head to head with a Titan, they might not win.
Yeah,
right.
So they're not the highest on the plane. Chernabog, however, period, he's the essence of power, the essence of evil. Like he's more of like a concept. You can't even define him.
Just look
by
some of the images,
power levels,
the stills of this character. Like even to now, just looking at stills, it's just the creepiest thing. Mm-hmm. It's such a good bit. All right, game 27. Simba from The Lion King versus Kuzco from The Emperor's New Groove. Fuck. I would love to see the Boy King versus Boy King battle.
Can Kuzco just win this? Because I really like. Not that I don't like Simba. It's just I don't like Simba. So
that's not you could vote against no, Simba based on
they. I mean, you show down to fight, and then they both start dancing, and then we come back like a half an hour later. They're both like chilling and like eating snacks.
Or Simba's eating the llama.
That's what I'm thinking.
He's eating the llama.
I can't get my head around that. Like it's lion versus llama.
You know, that's mostly because Kuzco built over the Pride Lands and made a water slide. But
there you go. I like this fanfic that could have happened. Game 28 is Wreck-It Ralph from Wreck-It Ralph versus Xanatos from Gargoyles. Oh my God, look who showed up twice on the list, Gargoyles.
I'm so sorry, Ralph.
That's a slugfest right there.
Yeah. I really hope Xanatos wins this because he's such a great and iconic villain to the point where there was coined the phrase Xanatos' Gambit simply from this character.
Right.
He has his own TV tropes at this point.
Here's the thing, Wreck-It Ralph showed that villains can be good guys. But Xanatos said that they don't need to be.
You just need to be good.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Gargoyles has the same like staying power that Ralph.
Generational thing. Yeah, you've been mentioning over and over and over.
If you weren't there for Disney Afternoon, then
I don't think it sticks.
But at the same time, I mean, you know, he was one of the most competent villains I can remember.
Voiced
He showed that the villain doesn't just have to be snidely whiplash sort of, I'm going to do it because it's evil.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm going to lose because I really didn't think it through that much. Yeah. No, he thought it through and he might just win.
And it's also voiced by a great actor, Riker from Star Trek, for God's sakes. I mean, just like.
I feel like he, light years beyond your typical 80s cartoon villain.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So we got game 29.
Yes.
Stitch from Lilo and Stitch versus Yzma from The Emperor's New Groove.
I kind of want to give this one to Stitch as well because he's such a big, powerful character at this point.
I think Stitch, like, just on pure power alone.
And he's small and cute and all powerful and, you know, all those things.
And Yzma's motivation never really made that much sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, she kept sneaking onto the Emperor's chair and running the kingdom.
Well, she wants power.
She
and that's
wants
true.
Power?
It's basically alien experiment and his superpowers and his laser gun versus her magic and transmutation. If she turns him into something that's less dangerous, maybe.
Like a kitten. Unless, of course, she accidentally turns herself into a kitten.
Or
right.
She's not exactly the most competent villain we've ever seen.
Yeah.
But she's fun, and I think that's why she's on the list.
She is fun.
And,
I love
she has nefarious lovers for no apparent reason.
Nope.
Game 30. Buzz Lightyear from Toy Story versus Rapunzel from Tangled. You know what? I'm not even gonna get involved in this. I haven't seen either of the movies. I don't. Yeah,
Tangled is a great film, and I think it was proof positive that it wasn't just Pixar's game at Disney. That was the first film that they went ahead and said, "No, no, we got this, guys. We can do this."
Yeah.
So for that, that's a lot of power to it, but it's hard to go against that opponent. But
yeah, Buzz is kind of, you know, inside of his own universe because, you know, he is his own franchise.
And he's
on top
delusional.
Of being, you know, the wonderful character, yeah, and, you know, the delusional kind of megalomaniac a little sometimes.
Yeah, it's tough because, like, that journey that he goes on in that first film is a very weirdly poignant one. All
very
about
profound.
The idea. Yeah, it's about self-identity and, like,
and acceptance.
Yeah.
Probably
like
one of the
you
strongest.
You are and being okay with it.
Wow.
One of the strongest
I really
deuteragonists
Toy Story.
You'd ever
yeah,
see.
Yeah, it's actually fantastic.
Yeah, I know. It sounds amazing. It's one of those things that I just haven't seen yet for whatever.
You
Godfather
will cry.
Is another one.
But it's
it's the same movie.
It's such a shame because I really like that character because she's also, yet again, another princess character who really, at the end of the day, isn't necessarily as the typical damsel in distress that does a lot of the work in the
film.
Well,
she doesn't know she is.
Yeah, she doesn't know she is.
She has very no competent. Idea she's trapped inside a tower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is interesting. I've heard a little bit about that, her relationship with Mother Gothel and what have you. Mother Gothel had not made it to
Dangerous
the
with a frying pan.
Game 31, Aladdin from
Aladdin.
Yeah. Versus Remy the Rat from Ratatouille. Hmm. I'm just going to leave this out here.
It's starvation. He's going to eat
both
the rat.
These characters are hungry for a chance at the title.
Oh.
Bam! Bells! Ding, 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 ding! We win.
I mean, if you go by the animated series of Aladdin...
No. All right.
He's skilled and powerful in so many ways. He's able to take on bad guys of all kinds, demigods and whatnot, with no more than his, quick
he's
reflexes.
Scrappy.
And
he's
yeah.
really scrappy. In a fight, you know, yeah. you can't really see
and
what he's
Ratatouille,
doing. He can throw an apple really hard.
Well, he can make a pretty good pasta. That's his,
well, no, his he definitely found himself. Think of yourself as like you're a graphic design major trying to prove to your parents that your career choices aren't pathetic after college.
Right.
And you watch Ratatouille, and then you write in your spiral-bound notebook that you carry around because you're that kind of person inside a movie theater, and you start or possibly you're on your iPad, you know, iPod Air, maybe with like a quill kind of like...
He's trying to keep this relevant.
Oh, sorry.
Just move on.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah. Like, imagine you're a person who like is debating whether or not you should take a chance on the thing that you feel most passionate about. I'm sure Remy is your spirit animal, as it were.
That's true.
You know? I think it's a possibility. Possibility. Good. Game 32, our final game. Lilo from Lilo and Stitch. Versus Genie from Aladdin.
Oh,
it's a heartbreaker in the final round.
It is a heartbreaker, but he has phenomenal cosmic power.
And also, like, we...
But he can't kill.
Lilo is a fan favorite icon. She's like a great version of a rambunctious little kid. But Genie.
And,
I don't think
and
there's
like
a chance.
With
the late,
yeah, the late, great Robin Williams. I mean, that stellar
and briefly,
performance.
Was it Dan Castellaneta or...
Yeah,
sure. Dan Castellaneta, yeah.
In the second film and in the animated series, it was Dan Castellaneta, and then Williams came to reprise the role once again for the third film.
Prince of Thieves.
Yeah.
I do think this is kind of a heartbreaker because I don't think we're going to get Lilo.
There's no real winner there.
He said Lilo for whatever reason. Lilo.
Yeah.
Lilo and... Yeah, yeah. Yes. All right.
That is correct.
You know what I'm thinking of?
Ding, ding.
I'm also thinking of Lilo. Lilo is who I'm thinking of. And then Lila. Oh, my God. All right, it's time to wrap up the podcast. So, game 32.
We've lost,
it.
Frank.
I think this is going to be an interesting battle. I think this is going to be an interesting March Madness. And I cannot wait to hear people's reasonings why they're in favor of these characters. Because that's, for me, always the best part of these March Madness competitions is finding out why you think the weird thing you think. So thank you guys for joining us. And again, vote. Whenever you want to vote, go to non-productive.com/vote, and you will get a chance to do that thing I just said, which is voting. Vote early, vote often, share.
Vote again.
Yeah, and share this with your friends because
they should vote.
We're
too.
All trying to make a
yes.
little... Disney magic.
Oh.
Don't sue us.
Does anybody else hear that or am I going crazy?
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.